didn't have Bechira before. You follow? I mean, God designed him that way, and he had Bechira. Had he used the Seichel, then he would have had a better situation. You follow? It doesn't mean to say that the way God created man, it was impossible for him not to sin. That's absurd. You see? There were tzaddikim, but you see, Noach was a tzaddik, other ones a tzaddik. Doesn't mean that. God, it was a good for man to have this type of a constitution. You see? But he had Bechira. And it lent itself to this type of development of this kind of narcissism. So when that you reach that degree of corruption, where everybody was caught up in this narcissism, the whole society, so then God saw that man can't survive. That's why the punishment was to put man into a state of weakness and sickness. See, we the Ramban, we do the idea that the Shekhinah is close to the one who is sick, because when a person is sick, it's a recognition of his own weakness. And the recognition of his weakness is the breakdown of the narcissism. And in that situation, he's closer to God. Closer to God. That's the whole lesson of Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is when a person has a true recognition of God, then miyad, the ramir to lachor, he's stopped in his tracks and he has a whole different understanding of what he's really nothing. He's really a fragile being. And the ultimate existence is God. But what prevents man from doing that is that people walk around with this faulty, with this crazy thing themselves. In other words, it's the Malchus Adam, Malchus Bas of Adam. The deification of man is the greatest obstacle to the deification of God. Yes? The difference between the psukim before the Mabel and the difference between the psukim after the Mabel is a tremendous difference. Because before it says, Ki Yeter Machshas Rak Rak Kalayom, was constantly so. You see? But afterwards it says, Yeter Leva Adam Ra Min Urav. That is from youth that it's so. But it's just from youth. Meaning to say that the way man is designed, the Yetzirah has a head start. The Yetzirah is active from youth. And later on, the other faculty develops. You see? But with regard to what we're saying, it means that that feeling of narcissism, that feeling of that self-image, under which there's nothing to stop him, right? That is only something he experienced in youth. And for the rest of his life, he's trying to recapture what he had in youth. But it's built in now that he can never achieve it. Because it's impossible. Because, you see, everybody today, right, as soon as you, even in your 20s already, you start to slow down, and you have injuries and illness, and then 30s and 40s, and then there's all different kinds of illnesses. So it's impossible for man to sustain that. You see? So since it's impossible for him to sustain it, right, it's a built-in guarantee that you'll never have that same situation, right? Where you'll have that type of narcissism on the scale where man will lose the recognition of God and man will descend to the level of animal. That you'll never have. That's why God promised that he would never destroy the world again. You see, the promise is a result of the new conditions which were established, the new creation. You see, the new creation which was established as a result of the model. The model was destruction and recreation. And it produced a whole new type of Adam. Now, what does this have to do with the Karban? Ki Yetzirah for Adam Ramanuv means that the inclination of from youth. It's only in youth that you have that type of powerful narcissism. But as he gets older, it diminishes. The first pasuk was Rak Rak Kalayom throughout his entire life. All of his life he felt that way. You follow? No. See, what is the idea of the Karban now? See, the first thing that Noach did when he came out of the Teva was to bring a Karban. Before the Mabel, he didn't bring Karban. Dora Mabel didn't bring Karban. Because already he was different. Yes?
See, the Karban showed that there was a change.
Complete change. Complete subjection. He sensed his own smallness, his own weakness. It's an act of total submission to the ultimate reality. That's what the Karban represents. That's why it says in the pasuk that God, see the two ideas are together in one pasuk. Vayirach Hashem, that God acknowledged the Karban, right? And then he said he won't destroy due to this factor. You see, the Karban really is just representative of the change which had taken place in Adam, in man, because of the Mabel.
Realization of reality.
Yes. And Vayirach really means, so what's the idea with the one who partakes, the one who is appeased by the wine of his friend, partakes of a divine meter. See, what's the divine meter? Of course, God always operates, only operates according to rationality. But it means that God looked at the situation and God recognized another side to man. God recognized the emergence of a new side to man. See? Now, therefore, any man... See, now, first, you have to understand one thing, though. When a person is appeased by the wine, so it could be for two possible reasons. It could be simply an emotion. You know, like before he was affected by one emotion, and now he's affected by another emotion. You see? That's not Yesh Lo Midas Kono. See? But rather, see, if it's just an emotional, so then it's not Midas Kono, just another emotion. But if the person doesn't act to appease you, he gives you the wine, right? So this has an emotional effect. But the emotional effect activates your mind, you see, and you review what you did before and how you defamed this whole lesson. And now you undo that, and rationally you see, you look into it and you see there's another side, just like God saw another side to Noach. That's Yesh Lo Midas Kono. Because that is a triumph of the rational, objective way of relating to reality over the infantile narcissistic. That's what it means, Yesh Lo Midas Kono.
Wait a minute, are you saying that God is not...
What does that have to do with the Migdash and Los Sanis? What is the idea of the Migdash? What does the Migdash represent? I know that. That's what Rashi said. But in general, what is the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash?
Realigning your emotions towards
the... Really, it's the ultimate in the acknowledgement of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the whole purpose of the Migdash, right? This is the that's the center... Right? That is the center of the what? Of the, that's right, the service of God, which means man's acknowledgement. The most important idea in man's life, his capacity to acknowledge the existence of the Creator.
Well, it's sort of
now, of
like
course, we know. Well, so what do we, now we know? That's carbon. Of course, one of the things is carbon. Which is, carbon is man's recognition of the true state of affairs. That he's a lowly, weak, a creature, and whose whole existence is dependent, comes from, and then the ultimate reality is God. Now, what if, in order to achieve this, however, there is something which stands in the way. Every person has this problem, because everybody, of course, is looking for God, for the ultimate, but unfortunately, people tend to find it in man. In other words, you see all of the philos of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, always comparing. Right?
Yes.
Melech Elyon to Melech Ebyon, the ultimate king to the temporal king. You see? Because the worship of human power is the real obstacle, you see, to the, it says, V'lo somarod Eloheinu l'masa yadenu. And we will no longer say Eloheinu, we will no longer say our God to the works of our hands. Masa yadenu. You see? It's man's creation. Man, that's all the Rishayim. And we'll soon see in Amalek. You follow? That's the whole thing of Muhammad Amalek, the two camps. The world is divided into two camps. Those who deify God, those who sanctify God, and those who sanctify man. That's the whole idea of the Nazi state, to elevate the man to the level of deification. That was the whole idea of the Tower of Babel, the Da'af Laga. That was the whole idea of the Tower. It represented the deification of man and the attempt to eliminate God. So the real struggle is between those who seek to deify, to sanctify God, and those who seek to deify man. You see? That's the pshat in the Beit. The Beit HaMikdash represents the ultimate in terms of the sanctification, the acknowledgement that God is the ultimate reality. You see? That's why it cannot be built with the Barzel. Because Barzel represents the sword. In other words, what does it represent? It represents man's narcissism. Man's narcissism is the impediment. And that's why man's narcissism has to have a certain basis in reality to substantiate itself with. You see? Man's narcissism is always looking for an outlet. You see? And in order for it, you can't, because it has to be based upon something. And the, usually speaking, you see this by Yafas Torah, the thing which stimulates the narcissism is the illusion of the conqueror, the power of conquest.
Yeah.
That's why Moshe warns them in the Midbar that when you'll be secure in the land and you'll be right and you'll become powerful, then you'll revolt, because then you'll have faith in your own power and your own strength. You see, and you'll deny God. That's the you see that also the idea key in the word given Melchemes Amalek. It says Ki Yad Al Keska, right? God says my hand is on the throne of God. And the word throne is missing The letter. It's supposed to be key state, right? With an owl. So the letter is missing. It's case. Why? Why is the letter missing? Why is it case ka instead of kisei? Because Chazal say that the throne of God is not complete. Eina kisei shalem. The throne is not complete until our mouths will be destroyed. Why is that? Because the throne of God means the recognition of mankind of God's existence, right? But what prevents it? As long as a Malik who denies God is powerful and successful, so people are affected by that, so that takes away from their recognition of Malchus Shemayim. Do you see that? Now that's the idea of the Makater. Lo yunach ha-makater anamarech. The sword is the Makater. Why? Because it represents man living according to the infantile narcissistic, and that leads to destruction. That's the Makater. Makater means the destroyer of life. It destroys life, both physically and spiritually. It's a destroyer. You see? Lo yunach means you can't bring that emotion into the picture. In other words, the tool of man's narcissism, which is really the tool of his downfall and his destruction, cannot be utilized in the Binyan HaMikdash. Because if so, you're bringing in the wrong emotion. In order to build a Mikdash, you've got to divest yourself of that emotion, which is a preventative factor. Now, it's not by accident, if Chazal mentioned, that on the Tower of Babel, right, on the top of the tower, what was there? There was a sword. pointing towards heaven. Why? Because the whole, you have to go through that also, by the way, you have to go through that tape of the Dar HaFlaga. But the whole objective of the Dar HaFlaga was the really an act of aggression against God. It was really the deification of man. So the sword represents man's narcissism as expressed in the fact of man being the real power. That's the sword. The tool of Muhammad. The shortening is because that's what destroys. That's a destructive force. When man follows that emotion, he's destroying his life. Physically destroying it, and the rest of it is destroyed. And the marech is when man overcomes that emotion and he lives in line with objective reality. That's the marech. That's the migdash. You see?
But if you would cut the stone, if you would cut stone.
Right. So I would have... There's different kinds of mitzvot. You see? There are certain mitzvot where the action itself will produce a bad result, right? I mean, if you have certain types of sexual relations, so the very action will produce feelings of pleasure, which will cause you to be drawn, right, to value that. So the action itself is a negative, all right? Then there's other types of actions which are not that the action itself produces a benefit, but the action is symbolic of certain ideas. And the Torah makes you go through the action, right, in order that you'll perceive the idea. For example, the eating of matzah. Right? I mean, the eating of matzah itself doesn't perfect you. How could that piece of matzah perfect you?
Lulav.
Right? Or lulav for that matter, too. Definitely. You can't tell me that the... tefillin also, but tefillin already you see more. I mean, tefillin is... On a simpler level, you can see more of an association. It's, right? Even by the way, but someone also really the ideas behind film. Okay, but still, you get a certain emotion maybe when you put on film. But what emotion when you pick up a little? Well, when you eat matzah. You eat matzah all year long, too. I mean, the person eats matzah all year long, he's more perfected. Obviously, matzah is there, because, and that's why we say, matzah zu, as part of the mitzvah. You want to get some matzah zu shanu achon al shem. You have to actually recite while you're eating the matzah. Why? Because you're not mekayim the mitzvah of matzah, because the whole mitzvah of matzah is the ideas that matzah represents. So I would say the same thing over here. You see? That it's not that we're afraid. You pick up the sword, but it means the sword represents a certain mentality. Right? And therefore, in order to build a migdash, you've got to go through a certain perfection. And if you don't go through that perfection, it's going to detract from the migdash. It's a post-sale. So that's the trap I dove into. You see? Because even though David himself was perfected, right? Even though David was perfected, but he represented something, in other words, people. It did. There was a certain mentality. It was a period of conquest. You see?
He represented a strong warrior, a powerful person.
That's right. So there was that danger. There was that danger that that emotion, the emotion of the conqueror, the emotion of the power, which is a negator, which negates the proper recognition of God. Now, let's take it one more step, though. I just want to show you specifically about Doc. The Doc mentions that you can't lift the sword over the Migdash because the Migdash is three things. The Migdash is three things. I think this is the final proof of what I'm saying. What are the three things? Because it's for Kaparas Avon, Ateres Tefillah, and for Shoah. Those three things, right? That's why you see the base of English had to be built in the period of Shalom, and it was complete Shalom. Because these three things represent a certain perfection. Now, what's Kapar Zavon? What's Kapar Zavon? Kapar Zavon is what? When a person sins, right? I mean, he's under the influence of his infantile narcissistic emotions. Now, what is Kapara? What does Tshuva represent?
Yeah.
It represents the breakdown of the ego. I mean, when a guy is capable of saying, I was wrong, that's one of the biggest things a person can do. What prevents a person from doing Tshuva? What prevents him? Because, he can't admit that he was wrong. Once he's done it, he asks if he can admit that he's wrong. So Kapara's other one represents the breakdown of the narcissistic and the ability to say, I was wrong. Now, what's the other thing that we are? Teres Tefillah. What's Tefillah? Well, again, why do people have a hard time with Tefillah? What's the main problem people have with Tefillah? The learning they like. Right? Learning, because learning you feel a certain ego satisfaction. You figure it out. You know, you're the conqueror. Learning can also be a conquest. Right? Yeah. But Tefillah is no conquest. Tefillah is complete submission before God. It's a complete acknowledgement. Every word of Tefillah is a breakdown of your ego. It's a complete acknowledgement of how weak you are, inconsequential, that you can't do anything, really, without God's help.
Shalom.
So that's it, yeah. So that's it. Now, what about Shalom?
It's not going to war and winning other people.
Yeah, Shalom also. What is real Shalom? See, Shalom, what does Shalom mean? How can you have world peace? Peace can only be when everything is in harmony. It means when every part is playing its proper role. You see? When every part recognizes its place, right, it's playing its proper role. And it's not seeking to be in something which is not really designed for it, not in line with its nature. You see? So that, again, what's the factor which prevents, that's the ultimate. Peace is really the total breakdown of the narcissistic.
That was on Sunday,
yeah. Yeah, I wasn't there. I didn't hear one. Well, come on, let's hear
it. Exact thing.
That's John going to say it.
Repeat it
so we can hear it again. That
Shalom really means that a person has attachment to his money and he's more deserving it than others. And he realizes that other people have the same as he is.
Right.
Marba
Shalom Ba'Allah.
Yeah,
that was
Marba
Shalom, that whole Marba.
Right. Right. In other words, Shalom can only be, again, what breaks down Shalom is the emergence of that emotion, that narcissistic, and then a person tries to grab, which is not his, and then, of course, he arouses the hatred in the others, and the world is in a state of conflict. You see?
Shalom is the breakdown of...
In other words, the other idea I said, that it's really the base of something that exists for all of the world, and that if it was associated with a warrior and a conqueror, it would arouse the jealousy of the world. That's all true. But I don't think that is the essential, because it's a secondary thing. The real essential is with regard to the building of the integral internal function of the Middle East itself. See, that's why David HaMelech couldn't do it. Because in the time of David HaMelech, there was too much association with conquest. Even though David was a perfected person, it wasn't a defect in David. But the period of Shlomo was one of Shalom. You see? And that really, first of all, that showed, by the way, that all the wars that David fought were wars of justice, not wars for the sake of the emotion of conquest. Because it's very unusual. Normally, after all that David had achieved, and they were so mighty, so now Shlomo could the natural, if it was dictated by emotion, then Shlomo would have gone further and conquered even more. You see? But since it was really done for the sake of justice, so and just for what had to be done to secure what was necessary for protection and so on and so forth, so once that was achieved, so Shlomo instituted a period of total peace. There was no aggression. So that was, you see? So the reign of Shlomo was one which was without the emotion of the conqueror. And that represented the true ideal, that the ideal is really for Shalom, and for harmony, and for peace. And you see, all the different nations had relations, they respected the Chachma, and so on and so forth. So that was why David was really nifsal. Not because of any defects that he himself had, you see, but rather because the concept of the Migdash is the ultimate recognition of God, and that can only be done in a situation where you have to remove the primary emotion, the infantile narcissistic, which tries to elevate and to deify man as opposed to God. That's the... Okay.